I'm going to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. We might read a few more around this one verse. It's verse number 18, and we're just going to be looking at that one verse this evening. Title of the message this evening is, Open Thou Mine Eyes, Open Thou Mine Eyes. I don't know if it's your goal that tonight or your desire for God to open up your eyes so that you can see the Word of God, so that you can know and understand the Word of God. But that was the psalmist's desire, and if it was David who wrote it, which I think it probably was, but if it was him who wrote it, then that was his desire, and I hope that that's our desire this evening, is for God to open up our eyes and help us to see the Word of God. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings toward us. We thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. We thank you for your grace and mercy towards us. Thank you for your love towards us. Father, we pray that you would help us and open up our eyes so that we can see things from your word. Lord, we know that without you we are nothing and we can know nothing apart from you. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would quicken us and help us and strengthen us on the inside, Lord, so that we may know you better, Father. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. Love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One verse of Scripture, verse number 18. Of course, the chapter is all about the Word of God. Every verse just about has to do with the written Word of God. He says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. He says, Lord, I want you to open my eyes so that I can see some things, so that I can understand some things, some wondrous things out of thy law. A man named Ray Comfort, I don't know if you know him or not, he does a lot of evangelism around the country, and he does a lot of things on video and witnesses to people, and just does a lot of evangelism. And I must say I don't know a whole lot about him. I have seen him on TV a little bit, but he said that even Helen Keller, who was born blind and deaf, could see God. No doubt in her silent darkness, every fragrant flower, every ray of the warm sun, every taste that touched her tongue, told her that there was a God who created all things. Jodie Foster shouldn't therefore be surprised that people are surprised that she's an atheist. So he's talking there about two different people, two different women. One was Helen Keller, and she was both deaf and blind, but she could see God. Amen. She knew that there was a God, and she knew just from her senses and what she could taste and smell and hear, she knew that there was a God, and she knew that there was a Savior. On the other hand, you have this Jodie Foster. She's an actress from Hollywood, and I guess she's surprised that people are surprised that she's an atheist, but there's a great comparison there between two women. Of course, Helen Keller believed and trusted in God that she could see with her spiritual eyes. She had been born again. She had been regenerated by the Spirit of God. And Jodie Foster's an avowed atheist. She doesn't believe. And as a matter of fact, she's been blinded. She's been blinded by the God of this world. She's been blinded by her sin. She's been blinded by her unbelief. And she doesn't want to believe that there is a God. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 14 and verse number 1, it says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. They don't believe that there is a God. And the reason that they don't believe that there is a God is because they don't want to believe that there is a God. Because then if there is a God, then they're responsible to that God, and they have to give an account to that God. And the last thing that human beings want upon this earth and their sinful nature and their sinful understanding is a God who will be over them and telling them what to do and ruling over them and being their authority. It's an authority issue. People don't like to be told what to do, and Jodie Foster is an exception to that rule. And so she says, well, I don't believe that there is a God. Now, she says that she celebrates religion for educational purposes, but that's not going to get anyone to heaven, and it might make you feel better about yourself, but it is surprising, but it's inexcusable for Jodie Foster to not believe that there is a God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1 that no one is without excuse about the knowledge that there is a God, because you have a reality that you can see. Now, you might try to deny that reality, but there is a reality. I'd like to give you two more comparisons just in our introduction. And that's with the psalmist here and with the Pharisees of Jesus Christ's day. The Pharisees in the days of Jesus Christ were blind to their own sin and self-righteousness, even though they professed to believe in God and were religious. They claimed God as their father, and they claimed Abraham as the father of their faith. But Jesus Christ came to them and he told them right to their face, he said, Satan is your father. God is not your father. And he says, if you were of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham, but you're not doing the works of Abraham, so therefore you're not of Abraham. You're very mistaken, he told him. And he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. It didn't matter what they professed or what they thought, their actions told a different story. They were blind. Jesus Christ came to them and he says, you are blind. And they didn't realize their spiritual handicap. They thought they could see just fine. They said, oh, there's no problem, I can see just fine. But in reality, they were blind. They couldn't see the truth or hear the truth because they were not the children of God, even though they were quite sure that they were the children of God. It says in John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That's what Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees. Now they thought they could see, but they were blind, very mistaken. They were quite sure that they could see. You know, there's people running around all over the United States and the world today, and they think they can see, but they are blind as a bat. They think they know the God of the Bible, but they don't know Him at all. Psalmist has a very different approach and a very different spirit towards the Word of God. He has a willing spirit about him. He says, man, I want to know the God of the Bible, and I want to know Him in an intimate way, a deeper way. He says, reveal those things to me. He has a desire to know God and to know His Word. Unlike the Pharisees of Jesus Christ's day, he has an actual passion to understand God. He has the exact opposite attitude as the Pharisees in Jesus Christ's day. So the psalmist here gives us the keys to unlocking and understanding the Word of God right here in this verse, one verse. I want to give you three keys to understanding the Word of God. Now, I need to tell you that you don't understand the Word of God through human intellect. You don't understand the Word of God through education. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not the key to understanding the Word of God. You go to school and you can still come out stupid about God. That's not the key. I want to give you three keys that we find in this verse here. There's something that we must understand, number one. There's something that we must do, number two. And there's someone that we must know if we're going to understand the Bible and understand the Word of God. Number one, there's something that we must understand, and that's our propensity for blindness. Our propensity, our tendency towards blindness. Number two, there's something we must do, and that's that we can pray for illumination. That's something that we can do. And number three, there is someone that we must know, and that's, of course, God, the power of God. It's the power of God that will open up the Scriptures to us. It's not in and of ourselves that we can understand the Word of God and we can just finally get it. No, God has to do something. It's the power of God. That's the crux of Christianity. It's not just that, hey, we can work ourselves into good people, something like that. That's the theme of every religion in the entire world. Just be a good person. Just do something good. But the reality is, we're not good people. First thing is, there's something we must understand, and that's our propensity for blindness. If you and I don't understand the problem, you're not going to be able to fix the problem. We have to find out that we are, yes, blind. We're blind. The psalmist confesses this. He says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of my law. He didn't say, hey man, I can see fine. Amen. There's no problem here. Amen. I've got it. I'm good. He doesn't say that. He says, open my eyes because I'm blind and I have a tendency for blindness. I have shortcomings. I have frailties as a human being. You and I have a propensity to blindness in the things of God. We have that tendency and that propensity. All throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, he went on in healing the blind. One of the first messages I ever preached was about blind Bartimaeus. I think that's in Mark 8, something like that, one of those chapters. But there was blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road, and he wanted to see, and he heard that Jesus Christ was coming down the dusty road. And he said, Lord, thou son of David, help me, have mercy on me. What did he want? He wanted to be able to see. People all over the land that need to see. There's different kinds of spiritual blindness, though. We're not talking about physical blindness. We're talking about spiritual blindness. The first thing that we can talk about as far as blindness goes is that you are blind from your birth. Every person born in sin, because of their relationship to Adam, is blind from their birth. And the sin nature that causes us not to be able to see spiritual things concerning God and concerning His Word. Man in his natural state, his unbelieving state, does not see the things that he needs to see about God. He is born blind, dead in trespasses and in sin. Blind because of his sin, blind because of the devil, blind because of unbelief. And they cannot see the glorious gospel that is right there before them that will help them and save them, or else they will go to hell. They're blind. They love their sin. They enjoy it. They don't want to leave their sin. They don't want to get rid of that. They're blind. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They need that light. They're born blind. They can't see those things. You know what they do? They scoff. They laugh at the Word of God. They laugh at the gospel. They think that they're okay. They think that Christians are foolish, stupid, however you want to put it. They just think that that's foolish to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are blind. Jesus said of the Pharisees in his day, he said, you're like the blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Same way in our day today. And as a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle said, in the last days there will be people who will be deceived and being deceived because of their blindness. So that's our problem at birth. Because of our relationship to Adam, is yes, we are blind, but how about blindness after salvation? After salvation, our spiritual vision can become obscured, for we can't see as well as we ought to see the spiritual things that we need to see, that those things can happen to us. Why? Because of sin and worldliness has obscured our vision. Things that were once clear and vivid to us that we could see just fine, now we don't see those things as well as we ought to, or as clear as we ought to. You ever ran into that problem before in your spiritual life? I know that I have. There's several reasons why our vision would be obscured as a Christian. One thing is short-sightedness. We don't have that long vision that we had when we once got saved. Man, we were excited when we got saved. We thought about heaven. We thought about Jesus Christ. We thought about eternal life. But after a while, our vision becomes obscured. Because of short-sightedness, we get things up too close to our face and we lose the long vision that we once had. It's called myopia. That'd be the term for it. Short-sightedness. Some people speculate that you can cure myopia by going up to a mountaintop or a tall place or a building or something like that and getting a long view or a long vision and focusing on that and looking at the horizon. It says you can get rid of that short-sightedness. In the Bible, there's one word that's used for that. I believe it's translated, cannot see afar off. Speaks about Christians that way. Amen. Hey man, you lost your long vision that you had. You're short-sighted. You know what happened? Too many things got in the way. Life got in the way. Maybe it wasn't even anything bad. Maybe it was your family. Maybe it was your job. Maybe it was your career. Maybe it was your children. Maybe it was all of those things combined. But then you forgot about eternity. You forgot about heaven. You forgot about the things that were most important in this, in your spiritual life. Peter wrote to Christians in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and he says that you better not get lazy in your spiritual walk or your spiritual life, because you can become blind and you can forget some things. He said you need to add some things to your faith. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, more things to add. He says, if you lack these things, you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins and you cannot see afar off. What happened? Oh, some things obscured your vision, some things that were close up in your life, and you forgot all about the things that were most important, eternity. You got your spiritual blinders on. You don't look at your life through the lens of eternity. The here and now becomes the most important and not heaven. But those things are a reality. One of these days, your soul will leave your body, and one of these days, we will meet God. Holiness is important. Righteousness is important. Judgment is a reality. Short-sightedness can make us kind of blind sometimes to the reality of heaven. You know what else can kind of blind us sometimes? Age and time. Age and time. You know, I'm getting on the other side of 40, getting closer to 50. You know what I'm starting to realize? That I'm probably going to have to go to the eye doctor pretty soon, because my vision's getting a little bit blurry. A couple of years ago, I was looking out down the hallway at work and things were looking a little bit blurry, and now other things are starting to look blurry. Why? Because that just happens with age. The older you get, you got to get glasses. Now I have to, if I stand back this far, I can kind of read, but if I get up this close, boy, it's kind of blurry, and I have to wear reading glasses. I didn't used to have to do that. I could spot a sign. I could read a sign from a long ways away. I used to have 20/20 vision. I don't think it's that way anymore. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm probably going to have to go to the eye doctor. You know what happens sometimes to Christians? We go through this Christian life, and sometimes our eyesight becomes obscured through age. You know what we need to do? We just need to go to the eye doctor. We need to have our vision checked. You know where you get that done at? You get that done at church. You get it done through the Word of God. You get it done through preaching. Get your vision cleared up. Get things a little bit more clear than they were, because, hey, we have a propensity for blindness. Jesus Christ said of the church at Laodicea, he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve so that thou mayest see. He said, you got everything that you want. You got all the riches, you got all the buildings, you got all the luxuries, you got everything that you need, but you are spiritually poor and blind and naked. You've got all those things. Don't you think for a second that Grace Fellowship Baptist Church couldn't be that way? You've got a propensity for blindness. If you don't acknowledge or understand your propensity for blindness, you're never going to be able to deal with the problem of blindness. You got to deal with that. Understand, dear friend, your propensity for blindness. So the psalmist, knowing his own humanity and propensity to view the Word through his sinful nature, he turns to the author of the Word for illumination. He says, now that I have the problem figured out, I can now turn to the author of the Word. So he says, I'm going to take the pathway to illumination. There's something that I can do here. I can pray. He says, I understand it now, but now there's something that I can do. There's a pathway to illumination. He says, open up thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Did you know that entire verse is a prayer? He says, there's something I can do about this. I can talk to the author. You ever been reading a book before and you said, well, I don't really understand what he's really talking about here or she's really talking about here. I sure do wish I could ask this person about what he's talking about. Get a little bit of clarity there. Did you know that we can do that? We can pray to God and ask Him for illumination and help to know the Word of God. There's a path that we can take. So we see the psalmist's seriousness and dedication to the Word of God. He understands its power. Do you understand that the psalmist is very, very serious about praying to God for illumination? Look at verse number 17, the verse before it. He says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." He's praying to God there. He's asking God for something, for some help. Look at verse number 19. He says, "I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." Verse number 25. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways," verse 26, "and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes," verse 27, "make me to know, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer from the psalmist, asking for illumination from God for his word. We have an avenue to take, a pathway to take, to understand the Word of God, and that's through prayer. We pray because the Word of God is powerful. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Word of God is powerful. Pray to God and ask Him to help you. It's alive. When the Spirit of God applies it to the heart, it converts and makes us alive. It's a powerful Word of God. The religious leaders in Acts chapter number 7 found out just how powerful that Word of God was. It's a sword. Pricks the conscience. Might even hurt you a little bit. Boy, they were upset, weren't they? When they heard what Stephen preached about the Word of God, they were pricked in their heart. So mad at Stephen, they decided they would go and they would gnash on him with their teeth. What kind of a response does it elicit in you when you hear the Word of God? Does it elicit a response of sorrow and repentance or anger and resentment? Because it'll get you for something. The Word of God is powerful. It discerns your thoughts and motives as you read it. It exposes your sins and why you do them. And the psalmist knows its power. That's why he's praying, asking God to help him to understand it. How about your prayer life here this evening? Prayer is a commandment from God, and God commands us to pray. He said, Jesus Christ said, you have not because you ask not. How important is it for us, ladies and gentlemen, to ask God to help us to understand His Word? Maybe because we don't pray before we read it and ask Him to help us. Jesus Christ told His disciples, He says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Prayer was one of the means by which God has ordained to bless us and help us to understand His words. Prayer is important, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God speaks about it over and over again, but not only that, prayer puts us in the right frame of mind. You see the frame of mind that the psalmist has? He's coming to the Word of God and he's praying. He's not full of pride and full of me. He's full of God. He says, "God, I need some help." Did you know that you can't come to this Word and get something out of it with pride in your heart? You can't come to the Word of God and say, "Man, I've got this all figured out. I know it backwards and forwards. I've got everything that I need from the Word of God." Did you know if you come to the Word of God and you have a heart full of pride, or maybe you're skeptical or unbelieving, you know what you're going to find in the Word of God? You're going to find plenty of reasons why you don't need to believe it. You're going to find plenty of excuses about why the Word of God is not true. You're going to find plenty of places in there where you might find a supposed contradiction because you came to the Word of God with skepticism and unbelief and not with humility. When you come and you pray to God, asking Him to help you to understand His Word, you are coming with a humble heart before Him. And the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace, grace, grace to the humble. Amen. We have to approach the author of the Scriptures through humility. The Bible says about the Word of God, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. comes from God. Think of Paul the Apostle, Ephesians chapter number 1, and he had a prayer for his converts there to Ephesus. And he says, man, I want you to know about God and His glory. And he says, I'm praying for you about that. He knew the power of prayer, and he says, man, I want you to know. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What does he want them to know? Well, he doesn't want them to have $1 million in their bank account, although I'm sure he didn't oppose that. But that wasn't the most important thing. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. That's what Paul wanted his converts to know. Man, I want you to know about the inheritance that you have waiting for you. I want you to know about the power of God. I want you to know how rich and how wonderful that God is. I want God to reveal those things to you. That's what he said. We have a pathway. We're not helpless. We can understand the Word of God. We have a resource given to us. And when we approach God in prayer, you know what we're doing? We're tapping into His power. Because there's someone that you need to know. If you don't know God, how are you going to tap into that power? You know what the psalmist said? He says, open thou mine eyes. God, I want you to do it. Because I can't. Open thou mine eyes. You have the power, God. Would you help me? I need your help. Does that mean that he became a Bible scholar and he knew every word, every letter of the Word of God flawlessly and everything that he could find out? No. But I bet he found out all he needed to know. He says, open thou mine eyes. There's someone that you need to know because you can't do it alone. If not for the powerful, illuminating work of God, the Bible would be a closed book. It's God alone who can open the eyes of the blind. It says in Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Again, in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Is that true of you here this evening? Understand the Word of God? God opened up your eyes. I read a story or a little thing here about this woman named Mary Slessor. She was a missionary into the land of Nigeria, Africa, and she lived from 1848 to 1915. All of her friends were amazed at the progress that she made with the natives there in Africa. How that their will and their minds had been changed about the Word of God. How did you do that, Mary? How is this possible? I mean, these are native Africans living in a jungle, and now they are God worshipers, believing in the God of the Bible. I mean, they were so hardened against the Word of God. How is this possible? One of the natives spoke up, and he said, you have evidently forgotten to take into account the woman's God. He said, it was by the power of God that I now see. Did you know that it's the power of God? You have to know the author. God has all of the power, and He's all-powerful and almighty. We just read in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll read the verse to you again. It says, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. He says it two times. God's a powerful God. It certainly is. We thank God for Him. Well, I'm glad that He didn't leave me alone. I'm glad that He didn't leave you alone. If you're here this evening, He's not leaving you alone. Speaking to you. Privileged to be here this evening. Jesus Christ has the power to open up the eyes of spiritual understanding. Why? Because he's God. He did that all throughout his earthly ministry. After he rose from the dead, the day that he rose from the dead, he talked to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he stood before them, and those two disciples did not know who Jesus Christ was, and they were looking at him. The Bible says that their eyes were holden that they could not know Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? He talked to them. He says, what are you talking about? What's going on here? And they says, well, haven't you heard? Are you living under a rock or something? Jesus Christ, he was supposed to redeem Israel. He's been killed and murdered on a cross. And they went to his tomb, and now he's not even there. The Roman soldiers must have taken him away, or I don't know what happened to him, but man, we are so sad and upset. You know what Jesus Christ said to those men? He said, oh, fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that were written in the prophets about me. They were not only physically blind and they couldn't see that Jesus Christ was right there sitting in front of them, but they couldn't understand the scriptures that they had been studying all of their life. But it was about Jesus Christ. You know what had to happen? He opened up their eyesight so that they could see. And the Bible says that after he got done with them, he says, man, our hearts burned within us as he opened up the scriptures to us and expounded the scriptures to us. How could he do that? Because he's God. He's God. Holy Spirit must teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. How can he do that? Because he's God. He's God. Luke 16:13. How about when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So we have access to this power through Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle again says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We have that eyesight through Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel of our Savior, the same man who opened up the eyes of the blind in Israel, now has the power to open up your eyes and my eyes so that we can behold those wondrous things out of the Word of God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. We should thank him for that. What about those wonderful things in the Word of God? There's some literally a lot of wonderful things there. God shows us himself in the Word of God. If it wasn't for God and for his word, we couldn't know God. Not intimately. Yes, we could know that there's a creator. We could know about creation and all of these things. But yes, no, we couldn't know the mind of God. We couldn't know what he loved and what he hated. Couldn't know those things. But God has graciously given us his word so that we can know those things. The law of God reveals the mind of God. And I'm talking about not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament that everyone seems to hate and dislike. Paul the Apostle said the law of God is spiritual. It's good. It's holy. There's never been a human law like that on the face of the earth. It came from God, his law. The law of God reveals his holiness. The law of God reveals the sinfulness of man. It's a testimony of the failures of man. That's why we can look into it and say, hey, there I am. I'm just like that guy. We're no better than the Jews in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Why? Because we're human. And it's a mirror that shows us our sinfulness. But not only that, when we see our sinfulness, you know what it does? It drives us to Jesus Christ. We look at the law of God and we see how holy and how just and how righteous God is. And we says, man alive, there's no way I can keep all of that. There's no way I can be perfect like that. I need a Savior. I need someone to help me and save me. That's a wondrous thing out of the law of God. But not only that, the law of God is the rule and guide for the life of the Christian. You got a controversy in your life? Something in politics that you might be wondering about? Go to the law of God, the Old Testament. It'll probably tell you about it. It'll tell you what God thinks about it. We were saved to obey God's word and to be saved from our sins and to keep his commandments. Those are found in the Bible, all of them. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. the law of God. Boy, this world can be a pretty rotten place, can it? Be a pretty ugly place, pretty sinful place. What if you didn't have the Bible? What if you didn't know what was going to happen? What would you do? I know what I'd do. I'd say, man, what in the world did I get born into? What is the world? This is it? A bunch of killing and violence and death, gray hair and wrinkles and glasses and canes? That's all I got? Man, who wants to be a part of that? I wish I'd never been born. But guess what? We have the law of God. We have the Word of God, and it tells us, hey, there's something better coming. There's heaven to look forward to. And God is going to win, and righteousness will win in the end. So that's the law of God, the Bible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,